Hello, hello, boys and girls, and mums and dads, and everyone, and all of humanity. Hope you're well, and hope you have all had a lovely day. For those of you that have already had their day, for those of you that are beginning it, I hope you will have a beautiful day as we commence this wonderful time of year, the Navratris, according to the Hindu religion. And it's a beautiful time of the year. It is a time of year where you feel an incredible amount of energy, and the vibes you feel are inexplicable, because they really, really fill you with some sort of power and make you realize how strong you are inside. That's why perhaps many people, when they fast, they say that they find renewed vigor to do it. They don't feel tired. They don't feel exhausted. They just feel very, very attuned with their inner self. So welcome back to another edition of The Stories We Tell with me, Mridula, or Ruby, as you might know me. And for 9 days, starting today, we are going to have a series on the Navratras. And we're going to celebrate all the forms of the Mother Goddess, Ma, Jagat Amba, the mother of the universe. And we're going to talk about the significance of each day, and because we are so full of joy, and everything we do must contain color and energy, we're going to talk about the color. So the color for today, there's a different color, by the way, for every day. And the color for today is white. The color for today is white to signify Ma Shailputri. So, as you know, Durga is the supreme Shakti or power, and she has various forms. So we will be celebrating 9 of her forms over these 9 days. And of course, the Navratra ends with Dashera. The 10th day ends with Dashera or Vijayadashmi, which brings an end to the Navratri festival. So today we are celebrating Ma Shailputri, and the way the day starts is that there is what is known as a Ghatasthapana. So there is an invocation of Shakti, of the Mother Goddess, into your home. Devotees put seeds of grains in a clay pot. That basically signifies the presence of Goddess Durga in your home. That is watered twice daily. And at the end of it, of course, you have a beautiful little sprouted pot at the end of it, which really signifies abundance and new beginnings. So, about Goddess Shailputri, Shail means mountain and Putri means daughter. So, this avatar of Shakti means the daughter of the mountain. She was the daughter of Himavan and the younger sister of Goddess Ganga. So, Goddess Ganga, as you know, Ganga, the beautiful sacred river, the hallowed river, was brought to earth by King Bhagirath. She was fascinated by the idol of Lord Shiva and worshipped it devotedly to win the love of the Lord. She is said to hold a lotus flower in one hand and a trident in the other, preaching peace by warning of the evils of the world. They say she is, she's of course a form of Goddess Parvati and also of Goddess Ma Sati. She is pure and pristine in her beautiful white clothes, and we bow down to her on this day, as we bow down to all mother goddesses, of course. And we invoke her presence by saying Om Devi Shailputrai Namaha. So that's what we say, and we pray that we have the strength of mind, but also the purity and innocence of mind, because in the way the world has become and the daily struggles that we have, we forget almost that we need to be innocent in a way and not always be worried, especially for us poor adults. You know, adulting is a very difficult job, kids, just to let you know. So it's for all of us to maintain that little inner child and have that innocence inside us always and forever. And may our thoughts be as clear as the mountain air and our intent and beliefs always unshakable. So on that note, I wish you a happy first day of the Navratris, and I hope that you have a beautiful day, that all your dreams come true. And I really do hope that whatever you start at this time, you decide to do it with all the intensity in your heart. No matter how scary it is, no matter how much of your comfort zone you have to get out of, I really hope and wish and pray for each one of you that you commence something that you have been maybe procrastinating for a while and been a little afraid of. I hope that the great mother, the great Shakti, gives you all the strength from within to take on those challenges and to step out and achieve that which you are truly, truly capable of. So on that note, Jai Mata Rani, Jai Mother Goddess, we bow down to you, and give us the strength and give us the energy, and may all our dreams come true. Namaste, Namaskar, greetings, good night, and I shall see you tomorrow. Bye. Hello, hello, boys and girls, mums and dads, and everyone who's listening to this. Namaskar. Welcome back to another episode of The Stories We Tell with me, Mridula, Ruby, as you might know me. And today we are on the second day of the Navratris. The Navratris are, of course, the 9 days of the Devi, the goddess, the mother goddess, Shakti. Power, and we are celebrating 9 forms of Durga. So yesterday we had Maa Shailputri, the daughter of the mountains. The color was white, and it was about purity and innocence. Today we are celebrating Maa Brahmacharini, and today's color, by the way, is red. So without further ado, let's go straight on to who she is and what we do today. Ma Brahmacharini, another manifestation of Ma Durga, is celebrated on the second day, and there are a few interpretations to her name. One is the combination of Brahma, the self, Brahma, and Charya, which is the act of doing. And the other is around being a devoted student living in austerity in an ashram. In an ashram, which is, ashram is a place of education, of spiritual awakening, and it is something that was quite common in India many, many years ago. There are still many ashrams, of course, but what used to happen in an ashram is what was known as the guru-shishya parampara. The guru is the teacher, the shishya is the student, and parampara is the tradition. So there was this whole tradition of learning in an ashram, in a gurukul, and learning from your guru. So both of these interpretations focus on the quality of penance, of knowledge, wisdom, and good conduct. The mother in this form is radiant and exudes tremendous brilliance due to her intense tapasya. Tapasya means penance. Her abode is the Swadhisthana, which is the being, which is where the being is established, the sacral chakra. Her attire is white, and she symbolizes purity and simplicity without any embellishments. Today's color, though, is red, which indicates her tremendous strength. She holds a japamala, a rosary, in her right hand, and a kamandal, which is a vessel that contains sacred water, in her left hand. She wears rudraksh, which is a bead, a holy bead considered the beads of Shiva, and is barefoot, which shows her willingness to endure hardships. And also, of course, it shows the fact that she's austere and she renounces comforts in the single-minded pursuit of her goals. Goddess Brahmacharini blesses us with exceedingly high amounts of emotional strength and inspires us to not only march on the path of duty, but also on clarity and focus to achieve one's goal. By the grace of Ma Brahmacharini, we strive to move forward in life without getting disheartened. We learn resilience and we learn to march ahead despite the numerous challenges that come our way. So, that is about Ma Brahmacharini. The color for today is red. I was feeling a little poorly and my daughter was feeling a little poorly. My daughter, of course, Anika, who you all know of and have heard of, she didn't go to school today. And I have to say, I was feeling really, really, really rough. So I haven't had the energy to wear a red sari, but I have worn a red cardigan. And I was so close to not recording this, but again, coming back to what the mother, the great Shakti, the great goddess tells us about getting up, you know, onwards and upwards and standing up no matter what. So I decided we are going to go ahead with it. And incredibly, I found all the energy that I needed to do this because it's all about inner strength. So I wish you lots of love. I wish you heaps of strength and energy. We talked about energy a lot yesterday, didn't we? But today I really wish you inner strength in order for you to go ahead and actually achieve whatever you want. Don't let things let you down. Don't let challenges wear you down. Take that as something, as they say, feel the fear and do it anyway. So I wish you love. And I also wish that you do, and I think all of us, not just you, but all of us think about what it means to practice some form of austerity in our lives, whatever that might mean, and in whatever way we could do it. Because I do believe we live in a time, in a world of excess, and there is so much that we don't actually need. So I'm going to leave you with that thought, and I'm going to wish you good night. Sleep tight whenever you do. And let the Mother Goddess keep you shining bright. Jai Mata Rani, Jai Ma Brahmacharini. Good evening, good night, God bless, and I shall see you tomorrow on the other side. Toodles, namaste. Hello, hello, boys and girls, mums and dads, and all the earthlings that are possibly listening to this. At whatever point during these wonderful days that we are going to be talking about, and this is a very, very, very late hello from the stables of The Stories We Tell, of course. So welcome back to The Stories We Tell with me, Mritula, or Ruby as you know me. Today's episode is very late on day 3 of the Navratras, the 9 nights of Navdurga. The 9 forms of Durga, if you're joining me late. Well, metaphorically and really, because it is very late that I'm recording this today. And the reason I'm so late recording this is because I have been to the wedding of a young lady who's no less than a goddess. So today, as we celebrate Goddess Chandraghanta, Ma Chandraghanta, it struck me how much of a devi, how much of a goddess she looked like. And it filled my heart with so much joy and so much love. And I wish them both lots and lots of love. If you're listening to this, It's for Shivani and Anjan. I wish you so much of love and joy. And as I said, may you always be authentic and honest to each other. And may the Shakti guide you both. May the power, may the universe guide you both. So, on that note, without further ado, we are going to go into the significance of today. Day 3, Tritiya, as it is called. And the color of the day is blue, so I wore a blue sari. The fact is, it doesn't matter what color you wear and what you do and whether you find time to actually light a lamp or do a little ceremony, remember the Devi, the goddess, the Shakti resides inside you. So, may that Durga Devi, who rides on a tiger, who is endowed with intense anger and violence, and is renowned by the name of Ma Chandraghanta, bestow her grace on me. Now, when they say violence, just point to note that the violence we're talking about is not violence like, you know, the one that is meant to generally kill people for no reason. It's violent in a very different form. So I hope you appreciate where that is coming from. I also hope you appreciate that I'm listening to the free version of Spotify and playing Durga mantras in the background, which is why you hear a lovely advertisement. Yeah, hashtag not planned. On the third day of the Navratris, it is the form of Durga named Ma Chandraghanta or even Chandrakhanda who is worshipped. She is considered to be the married avatar of Goddess Parvati. Now, Goddess Parvati, we all think of her as the wife of Shiva, but actually, remember, she was very powerful even before she married Lord Shiva. So, she's considered to be the married avatar of Parvati. Her name originates from the origin... Her name originates from the semicircular moon. So they say that the origin of her name is the semicircular moon, Chandra, which appears like a bell, Ghanta, on her forehead. The moon represents the mind and the bell represents the inner sound, the nada, calling the mind back to its source. An interesting representation is that she's also considered to be the bell of time, ticking away, making our consciousness unfold and reminding us to be deeply aware of living in the present, to leave the past and our attachment behind, and to also not think about the future. This is one of the most important things we can take away. So if we can just think about the fact that we are constantly worrying about, oh my God, did I do that correctly? Did I go there right? Did I speak to that person, bro? Did I offend anyone? Was I too loud? Was I too soft? Or you're thinking about, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea if I'm going to pass that exam. I have no idea if I'm going to get that job. I have no idea if she likes me or he likes me or, you know, I constantly worrying. So reminds us to be deeply aware of living in the present. Now, a little description of Ma Chandraghanta. She is found surrounded by a golden aura, seated on a tiger, lion, that represents bravery, fearlessness, and courage. And she has 10 arms, which hold several weapons and different hand mudras, Trishul, trident, signifying the three gunas, create, maintain, destroy, the gada or the mace to swiftly attack the enemy, the khadag, the sword, which is sharp and symbolizes wisdom and good judgment, the gyan mudra, knowledge pose, showing the transition from ignorance to wisdom, the kamandal, water pot, to signify being self-sufficient, a lotus flower for peace, barn, bow and arrow for energy and potential, snake for Kundalini Shakti, and the mudra that shows freedom from fear. To devotees, she is of course the sweet, wonderful, protective mother, but for her enemies and for demons, both within and without, she is a fierce warrior. So it's her, this description is so vivid, it's so beautiful. If you see a picture of Ma Chandraghanta, you will see exactly what we're talking about. And the good news is that ancient Hindus already knew that women are multitaskers and that they would actually need 10 or 12 or how many of our arms to do the many, many things that they need to do. So that's Ma Chandraghanta for you. And I guess for me, the one thing if I had to take away from this, of course, is the fact that she's ever powerful and fearless, is the bit we talk about, which is around her being the bell of time, so being mindful and in the present. And that's one thing I want to leave you with, that thought. Can we be more mindful? Can we be more present? Can we be more full of gratitude for what we have rather than always worrying about what we didn't have or thinking about what we can't have? So I'm going to leave you with that thought. And on that note, I'm going to wish you, I shouldn't actually wish you a good night because you're probably all asleep. But in any case, I hope you continue sleeping well. Sweet dreams. May the Mother Goddess always protect you and be there for you. And may you be present. May you be fearless. And may you get all that you ever imagined and wished for. So good night. Sleep tight and keep the energy strong and in your might. That was bad rhyming, but I couldn't find anything else. Toodles, namaste, and see you all tomorrow. Hello, hello, boys and girls, mums and dads, and all creatures, great and small and amazing and fantastic. Welcome back to another edition of The Stories We Tell with me, Mritala, or Ruby, as you know me, and my very sleepy companion, my darling daughter, Anika Kaul, who was quite snotty and bunged up and has been for the last few days, so is next to me but not partaking because she's very exhausted. And actually should have been in bed right now, but wasn't. So, we are continuing with our series on the Navratris, the nine nights, and the nine forms of Durga. Shakti, power, and the most amazing form of strength that we can find, that is our creator and our protector, that gives us joy and strength and supreme bliss. Today is the fourth day of the Navratris. And on this fourth day, we celebrate Ma Kushmanda, or Mother Kushmanda. Brace yourself for a slightly longer story today because there's a lot to digest and pack in, because I have managed to get my hands on a lot of information from the internet. It has to be noted that I am no expert, so all the information I have is something that I have picked up from the internet and a lovely site that I can't now remember. But yes, I got that information from there and there's a lot in it. So brace yourself. So Ma Kushmanda is also known as Ashtabhuja Devi. Ashta means eight and it means somebody who has eight arms. Again, as we talked about yesterday, very clear, you know, the ancient Hindus were that, of course, a woman who does so many things and is always multitasking, it's all about having so many arms symbolically and metaphorically to do that. So very wise people. Now, Ma Kushmanda is known as a happy manifestation, a smiling form. And her soft smile has a lot of significance. We're going to come to that in a moment. She is considered to be the creator of the entire universe, which is reflected, as a matter of fact, in her name. The first word of her name is Ku, which means little. The next word is Ushma, which means energy or warmth. And the third word, which is Anda, is egg. So her name suggests that she is the creator of the little cosmic egg that we call our universe. So this is an interpretation. I'm not entirely sure this is perhaps what it was, but it's an interpretation. Now, the history and origin of the story is that it all starts at the beginning when there was nothing. The universe was emptiness. There was no sign of life. And suddenly, it is said, that a ray of divine light appeared and slowly illuminated everything. Initially, this light was formless and had no particular shape. But soon it started taking a clear shape and form. That form was the form of this divine goddess, the first being of the universe, Ma Kushmanda. In fact, it is believed that she was able to create this universe with her silent, soft smile. You know, we talked about the significance of the smile. And that smile took over the darkness. She produced this little cosmic egg, the universe, and she took the earth from darkness to light. She replaced the darkness with light and gave new life to the universe. And it is said she then created the sun, the planets, the stars, the galaxies, the solar systems. She seated herself at the center of the sun and is believed to be the source of all energy in the universe, which is why you see this halo around her in the picture. She provides life to all living beings through the sun's rays and is therefore known as Shakti. Now, after this, it is said that Ma Kushmanda created three divine goddesses who were also the first beings of our universe after her. She used the central eye on her forehead to create a beautiful form. And that was Mahalakshmi. She then used her left eye to create a very, very scary and powerful form called Mahakali. And finally, using her right eye, she created Mahasaraswati, a smiling, gracious, and font of knowledge goddess. So she used her three eyes. She used her third eye, the central eye, to create Mahalakshmi, the seat of prosperity, abundance, and wealth. Mahakali, to create Shakti, power, and fearless energy. And Mahasaraswati, to create knowledge and grace. Later, the body of Mahakali gave birth to a male and a female. It is said the male was Shiva and the female was named Saraswati. Similarly, Mahalakshmi also gave birth to a male, Brahma, and a female, Lakshmi. Ma Kushmanda then glanced at Mahasaraswati, who gave birth to a male and a female. These were Vishnu and Shakti. After this, Ma Kushmanda offered the hand of Saraswati to Brahma, the hand of Lakshmi to Vishnu, and the hand of Shakti to Shiva as companions. She then absorbed the three divine goddesses within herself and entered Shakti as one unified object of divine, powerful, and abounding, endless energy. She rides a tiger, and she has a total of eight arms, as we said. Each of these holds a particular object or weapon. She is usually depicted as holding a bow and arrow, a lotus, a mace, a pot of nectar, a rosary or a Rudrakshmala, a disc and a kamandal, the watering pot that we talked about in the previous episode as well. She is divine, she is eternal and the source of all energy. She is known to, of course, bless her devotees with strength, wisdom, prosperity, and she protects them from the troubles and hardships in life. So, that's the story of Kushmanda. And when I hear this, I think the one word that I take away is the creator. The one who almost designs and creates, if you think about it. She had an incredible vision, right? She had this vision to create three Maha goddesses, which is like mega goddesses, and then bring them all together and unify into one. So the amazing thing here is the power of creation and unification. And in a world that is so divided and where there are so many problems and so many cracks in the world, I wish that we can create more peace, more unity, and a vision for a world that is beautiful ahead. So on that note, I hope that Mother Kushmanda blesses us all, and I hope that you're all going to be sleeping well. It is incredibly late. I'm very, very sorry. It's nearly 10 p.m. So I hope you're already in bed. I hope you're sleeping very, very tight. I hope that a beautiful divine light envelops you all as you sleep. And when you wake up in the morning, you're going to be fresh and renewed with energy and vigor. And you take on the day and make sure that you create beautiful things and have a beautiful day ahead. So on that note, good night, sleep tight, and let the energy wrap you tight. I already said tight, so right, maybe. Namaste, good night, and toodles. See you on the other side tomorrow. Hello, hello, boys and girls, mums and dads, and everybody who's possibly listening. Welcome back to another edition of The Stories We Tell with me, Mridula, or Ruby, as you know me, and my darling companion, Anika. We are doing a whole series on the Navratris, the nine nights, and Navdurga, the nine forms of Durga. We've had 4 days so far, and today is the fifth day. Today's Devi and today's avatar of the Mother Goddess is called Skandamata. So, Skandamata worshipped on day five, and what, darling? No, so Skandamata is the mother of Kartikeya. Kartikeya is the brother of Ganesha.
So she's basically like Saraswati.
She's a form of Parvati.
Oh, Parvati.
Yeah. So she is the mother of Skand, and Skand is Kartikeya. She has four arms and holds lotus flowers, symbolizing the blooming above. So you know how lotuses grow, right? They grow in mud, or they grow in an area which is not necessarily clean. And what that shows is that you bloom out of the darkness and above and out of that to become enlightened. In her two upper hands, she holds the lotus. In her right arm, she cradles her son Skanda, and she keeps her left hand in the Abhaya Mudra. So the Abhaya Mudra indicates that this is a mudra or a pose. A mudra is something where the fingers are held in a certain way, and it indicates that she is comforting a devotee or, you know, the world, and saying, "Fear not, I am here to protect you." Skandamata is a warrior goddess, riding atop a lion and defeating the asuras, the demons. However, this is an interesting avatar because she does not carry any weapons. Like his mother, Skanda is also a warrior. Skandamata governs the planet Mercury. She is associated with Vishuddhi Chakra. Vishuddhi Chakra, located around the larynx, or also known as the throat chakra. Vishuddhi means, Vish means impurity, Shuddhi means perfection, so removing of those poisons and imperfections. The importance of the Vishuddhi Chakra is actually quite detailed, and it's been set out in a lot of exceptional detail actually in the scriptures of the Puranas. So the story goes, or the story is that the Devas, the gods, and the Asuras, the demons, wanted to raise the treasure, Amrit, the nectar of immortality, which was hidden in the depths of the ocean, and they wanted to bring that to the surface. They used Mount Mandara as the stirring stick and the world serpent, Vasuki, as the rope. So he is known as Vasuki Nag, Nag meaning snake. The gods held the tail of the snake and the demons held its head. In this way, they were able to churn the ocean of the world with their combined power. It's known as Samudra Manthan, churning of the sea. Numerous treasures and precious objects emerged from the ocean, and finally, the much longed for Amrit rose to the surface in a golden vessel. But the serpent they had used to churn the oceans spat out a deadly poison that was capable of destroying the whole earth. Quickly, the Devas caught it in a bowl so it wasn't able to do any harm. But they had absolutely no idea what to do with it or how they could permanently dispose of it. They turned to Lord Shiva for help. Lord Shiva is the most gracious of all the gods and never refuses a request from anyone. He took the bowl of poison and drank it down to the very last drop. However, in the process, he did not swallow it, but held it in the Vishuddhi Chakra and purified it by means of Ujjayi Pranayam. So that's a way of breath control. A lot of that is done in yoga. And that is why Lord Shiva, Shivji, has a blue neck. Yeah? And he's known as Neelkant. So his throat was colored dark blue. And his face. This story demonstrates the purifying qualities of the Vishuddhi Chakra. Oh. Yes, I know, sweetie. We've got this now. And regulated breathing not only rids the body of physical toxins, but also purifies emotions and our conscious on a spiritual level. So, this is the most wonderful story of the Vishuddhi Chakra and how we can control it, and how Skandamata is the controller of the Vishuddhi Chakra. Skandamata cares, of course, for her devotees as her own children, and she helps us realize the poisons of our life in our conscious and subconscious, and teaches us how we can overcome these. So, on that note, if there's one, what should we say, key word we can take from this, it's all about cleansing and purifying. So let's cleanse our thoughts, cleanse our mind, and make sure that no matter what we do, we practice how we can get the toxins out of our life, whether these toxins are the things we have in our life or the people we have in our life. Let's get rid of those toxins, and may the great Mother Goddess help us find those toxins and finally eradicate them. On that note, I wish you good night. I hope you have a lovely night. Throw the toxins outright and don't let the serpents bite. Toodles, namaste, and see you tomorrow. Hello, 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 boys and girls, mums and dads, earthlings and all, one and all. Welcome back to another edition of The Stories We Tell with me, Mridula, or Ruby, as you know me. And we are delighted to bring you back to the Navratras and continue our wonderful series on the nine forms of the Mother Goddess. Shakti Durga. Yesterday we had Skandamata on day 5, and today on day 6, also known as Shashti, 6th day, we celebrate Ma Katyayini. A bit of a tongue twister, isn't it? Katyayini. She is also known as Mahishasurmardini. Mahishasur was a very, very vicious, awful asur, demon. Aren't they all awful? But yeah, this one was particularly nasty. So she took on the form to kill him, and it is a very, very this is a very powerful form of the Mother Goddess that we are going to talk about today. So without further ado, sorry, I'm still a little croaky because we've all been a bit bunged up with all kinds of bugs that are going a bit like these asuras and demons that we have. But hey ho, we shall overcome. So the 6th avatar of Goddess Durga is Ma Katyayini. Legend has it that there was once a great sage named Katya, and it was his wish that Mother Durga be born his daughter. He practiced austere penance for several years to please the gods. Ma Katyayini is first mentioned in the Taittiriya Aranyaka part of the Krishna Yajurveda. So the Vedas, the holy scriptures of Hinduism, were ancient texts, and Yajurveda is one of the oldest Vedas. The Skanda Puran mentions her being created out of the spontaneous anger of gods, which eventually led to her slaying the demon, as we talked about, Mahishasur. She's mounted on the lion given to her by Goddess Gauri. Since she's born to Katya, she's of course called Katyayini. She has 3 eyes and 4 hands and holds a sword in her one left hand and a lotus in another. The other 2 hands, respectively, show her protecting and permitting in her hand mudras. In Hindu traditions like yoga, actually, this is an interesting thing. I love it when they call it a tradition. Yoga is not really so much a tradition as it is a way of doing things. Yog is actually to do. So, but that is a different topic in a different time, and we shall talk about that. So, in yoga and tantras, she is ascribed to the 6th Ajna chakra, or the 3rd eye chakra. So very, very powerful, because the 3rd eye is our intuition. It's our most innate power that helps us see and discern. And her blessings are invoked by concentrating on this point, the 3rd eye. Mahishasurmardini Ki Jai. She is the killer of all demons, and on this day we pray that not only all the external demons are demolished, but so as well with the inner demons. The story behind her name, of course, we've talked about Katya. But we can go a little bit more into detail. And this is all, of course, thanks to the great, most learned Shri Shri Google, or Sir Google. So it is said that there was this great sage called Kata, who had a son called Katya, and he underwent long austerities and penances to have a daughter. A daughter who was a form of the Mother Goddess. So Katyayini was born to him as an avatar of Durga. We talked about the fact that she's, of course, riding atop a majestic lion and typically has four arms. We talked about her having a sword and a lotus flower. Her right hands are positioned in Abhay and Varada. Abhay, of course, is the devotee to not fear. So the opposite of Bhai, Bhai means fear. Abhay means not to fear. And Varada, blessings. In the Vaman Puran, she is depicted in her fiercest form during the battle with the demon Mahishasur, whom of course she slayed. Katyayani rules over the planet Jupiter. Right? Her chakra, as we talked about, is the third eye. This is where the bridge between our human potential crosses into divine consciousness. And we believe that all the spiritual energy from outside enters the conscious via this chakra. So important to protect this chakra and make sure that we channel all our energies. She is commonly worshipped, apparently, by unmarried women looking to find an appropriate husband, so to speak. But I would say that just getting strength from Ma Katyayani is so powerful. Just watching her, just praying to her, and just understanding how she actually overcame that ferocious, fierce demon with all her strength by channeling all her energy in that third eye, she managed to do it. So, today's takeaway word, for me at least, is the ability to channel our spiritual energy through our third eye. And I'm not saying this is a sort of physical exercise that you need to do. This is much more about actually channeling that energy, focusing and finding the time to channel our spiritual energies, because we get so wrapped up in our days and the things we do and material gains. And again, I am not suggesting they're bad or they don't need to happen. They of course have to in order for us to live, but it's so important to take time out and focus on channeling our inner energy, our inner spirituality, because that is what will hold us in good stead in the long run. So on that note, I am going to bid you good night. Don't let the bugs bite, of course. Do sleep tight. And while you're sleeping, I do wish you have the sweetest, most beautiful sleep, because sleep is so important. More on that later, because I'm not a great sleeper. And I recognize that's not a good thing. But I do hope you all sleep well and you can get heaps of energy and feel massively energized tomorrow when you wake up. Good night. Sleep tight. Namaste. And may the goddess be with you. Always. Toodles.